All right, welcome. It is Nazzy from the Pulse of New Hampshire. Time for Northeast Delta Dental Radio with the world famous, the one and only Mr. Tom Raffio, president and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental, which, let me finish, you ready? The longest running consecutive talk show host on the Pulse of New Hampshire Network. I think I got it this time, Tom.
You got it right, except with curly hair.
Curly hair. Ah, there's always something.
There's always something. But one of the things I've learned is, despite all of the promotions that we do for oral health, people are more curious about other things. So I was on WMER doing a snowshoe race. I got more email about the snowshoe race than the importance of oral health. So there's a good lesson there.
Absolutely.
For me. But my guest this weekend is someone equally as world famous. Did you know that?
No, tell me.
Jerrianne Bogus, who is the executive director of the Black Heritage Trail of New Hampshire, is joining me this weekend. Hi, Jerrianne. Thank you for joining me.
Hey, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure. And I want to start off by thanking Jerrianne, as this segment is not about the book that I just published, Prepare for Crisis, but Plan to Thrive, which you can get at Gibson's. You can also get at the Bookery. Most recently, we had a book signing at the Bookery on January 27th. And it worked out really well because the people that came then went to the SNU Arena to go to Disney on Ice. So I'm not sure if they were coming for the book or Disney on Ice, but it didn't matter. But Jerrianne was kind enough to enable me to include one of her beautiful emails in the book, because one of the things that Connie Roy-Jakowski and I have been doing for many, many, many years is a big supporter of the Black New England Conference. And so Jerrianne and I go way back, and I engaged that conference this week. And really, every year I learn something. So there was a wonderful email that I included in the book with Jerrianne's permission. And that has allowed me to use the book as one of my initiatives, which is all of the wonderful DEI initiatives, you know, that are going on around in New Hampshire and much, much needed. So Jerrianne, thank you for joining me this weekend. I know you're extremely, extremely busy. So perhaps you can discuss and tell the listening audience what the Black Heritage Trail New Hampshire is and its purpose.
Well, thanks, Tom. So the Black Heritage Trail of New Hampshire is a nonprofit that's working to raise awareness, tell the stories of New Hampshire's Black history across the state. We're a statewide organization, and we do this in order to build more inclusive communities and to really dispel a lot of the stereotypes and mythology around Black folks here in New Hampshire. That's a quick overview of what we do.
And we awesome. Do Go ahead.
We do that through five major programs per year, educational programs and celebratory programs. Yes. And those are our major programs that you see there, the Eleanor William Hooker Tea Talk series, which we'll start in February coming up. That's our Black History Month program that goes through March, a Juneteenth celebration, Frederick Douglass readings across the state, Spring Symposium for Teachers, where we can learn to teach and understand New Hampshire's Black history. The Black New England Conference, and a new program that we have is a series on Black poets.
And I must say, the Black New England Conference, which I've been participating for many years, was so compelling. Last year's was even more compelling than all the other compelling ones. So thank you for leading that. So the roots of your work, really the roots go back 300 years. Obviously, when did your organization come into being?
So we are, as a nonprofit, statewide nonprofit, we're about 4 years old. But we are the outgrowth of the Portsmouth Black Heritage Trail, which is 26 years old. And that was started with Valerie Cunningham out of Portsmouth, where she wanted to research and find the Black history in her own hometown of Portsmouth. So it started as a formal organization through the Portsmouth Black Heritage Trail 26 years ago, and then formed as a statewide organization because Valerie had collected so much more of these stories across the state that we thought we would be doing our fellow citizens a disservice not telling the whole state story.
And you mentioned all the programs that your organization orchestrates, and after the break, we'll review those again. So let's get to New Hampshire's history. And enslaved people came into Portsmouth after their transatlantic voyage. And it's as deep and as awful as the whole rest of the country. And people may not have realized that. So maybe describe in detail, you know, the journey and the struggles, and if you will, the rise and fall of slavery in the slavery culture in New Hampshire. So take your time.
So most people, like you said, really did not know or did not believe, or it was erased from our history that New Hampshire was a slaveholding state, as well as it was totally involved in the transatlantic slave trade. We had a very lucrative business next to Rhode Island. We were one of the biggest participants in this transatlantic slave trade right here in Portsmouth. We built the ships. We provided the timber for these ships. We made the sails for the cloth. We were just involved in the slave trade in all of its aspects. Enslavement of Africans who were brought here from the coast of Africa through the Caribbean. We have the first man being recorded in 1645, being here in Portsmouth. And his story is kind of interesting, as we know his story because there was a case that was brought against his enslavers, not because of enslavement, however, was that he was captured on a Sunday, and a Sunday was a day of rest.
Oh,
so, you know, it had nothing to do with the man being enslaved, but more for breaking the Sabbath, which was kind of interesting. By 1779, they were there was a petition written in 1779 by 18 Black men who were enslaved to well-known families in the state, asking for their own freedom, which, as you can imagine, there were these petitions at the same time that our United States was trying to for declaring their independence from the British. But slavery itself was never really ended here in New Hampshire. Some people think that our 1783 law, the Constitution, where it declares that all men are born equal and independent, was the end of slavery. But we know that wasn't true, because in 1790 through 1800s, right until 1840, the 1840 census had enslaved people listed in it. I think the last person we had was in the 1840 census that was in Hollis, New Hampshire. Another thinking of the end of enslavement here in New Hampshire was maybe 1857, when there was a passing of an act that said no person, because of descent, should be disqualified from becoming a citizen of the state. But it was not interpreted. It was left open for people to interpret what that meant. So it wasn't a strict law. So it wasn't until the 13th Amendment in 1865 that slavery actually ended here in New Hampshire.
Now, when you're on the road speaking, Jerrianne, or just having conversations with neighbors, and this comes up, are people surprised with the fact that, we were, New Hampshire was an economic engine behind the slavery trade, as well as the fact that to some extent slavery didn't end even in New Hampshire until the Civil War? Does that surprise people?
It's always surprising. I think the narrative for New England states is that we were the abolitionist states, right? So we were always helping our enslaved people to escape to Canada. But the reality was that we were definitely a slaveholding state. And also, too, even after the law was passed, ending the trade itself, because New Hampshire did not tax the enslaved people that were coming in, the people who were bringing them in, it was a big port for smuggling the enslaved Africans here and then taking them to other places across the state.
Must be really eye-opening. So we're going to take a short break, and when we get back, I want to review again the programs that the Black Heritage Trail offers, and then I'd like to get into more of Civil Rights Day, which just occurred, not too long ago. So we'll return after commercial break with more of Jerrianne Bogus, who's doing a great job educating the listening audience. Every time I chat with you, Jerrianne, I learn stuff.
Yeah, this is great. All right, more next on The Pulse of New Hampshire. All right, welcome back. It is Nazzy from The Pulse of New Hampshire. Tom Raffio, president and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental Radio. This is a really, really, really important topic that we're having today too, Tom, with Jerrianne. Please continue. I'm really, really paying attention to this one.
So Jerrianne has been a great partner with myself and Connie for years and is the executive director of the Black Heritage Trail New Hampshire. And what after a brief review of the programs that her organization offers, I want to get into recently our celebration of Civil Rights Day. So Jerrianne, why don't you once again review the different programs that your organization offers, as well as funding? Do you have a need for membership, sponsorship? So it's a great opportunity to sort of do real-time, membership and fundraising, on the radio. So proceed first with the programs, and then we'll get into fundraising.
Absolutely. So we start our season off in February with a series of six talks. We call the Eleanor William Hooker Tea Talk series, and we look at contemporary issues that are grounded in history right here in New Hampshire. The first one that we're looking this season, we're looking at Divisive Concept, the new bill that was passed for how we teach history and subjects that we may think are divisive. And so we have a series of talks that will look at that. After that, in June, we have the Juneteenth celebration, which is actually a celebration of Black life and Black culture, celebrating the date of the last, I don't want to say last, but one of the well-known last enslaved groups to be freed 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation. So we do that, and that really, it's music, food, talks, everything that we do has an educational background in history, but also it's a celebration. Then we have in the fall, the Black New England Conference, where we gather scholars and independent scholars from across the nation to talk again about a particular subject. The one coming up this year will be on financing, where the money's at, and we'll look at that in the fall. We have a Frederick Douglass reading on a community-wide Frederick Douglass reading, statewide, of Douglass's most famous speech about the 4th of July. We have a new poetry series that we do in the fall from November through January. Actually, tomorrow is the last one where we feature a well-known African-American poet, Sonia Sanchez. She'll be joining us on Zoom for that. And then from May through November, we have a series of guided tours where we can look at location spots, hear the history where they actually happened. And we do that in Portsmouth, Milford, Hancock, Warner, Exeter, Greenland, and we're adding more locations as we grow. And this is a great opportunity for people to get involved across the state with learning about their own Black history in their own backyard, helping us tell these stories, and joining us to learn more about what's going on right here in our own state.
I love the way you put that. I mean, I always say this to all the speeches I give in the community: education is the key to human civility and us progressing as a civilization and as human beings. So if I want to engage the Black Heritage Trail in terms of either being a member or attending some of these events, what do you suggest if someone's listening to this radio show? What do you suggest would be a way for a citizen to get in touch and get involved, either participating in one of those events that you've outlined, or becoming a member, or becoming a sponsor? And for my CEO colleagues out there, the Black New England Conference is one of the most compelling conferences. So we have sponsored for many years, and we could use more sponsorships. But how would either a company or an individual engage your organization, Jerrianne?
So one of the things we started 2 years ago was really working with New Hampshire organizations, so we can come to your place via Zoom or in person to really share this history for anybody who is doing DE&I work in their organizations. I think it's really good to look at these talks and these programs that we have, which can be tailored towards the organization in understanding more of our history and how to create these more welcoming communities when we're being visible and understanding what this history is. So we have those programs. We also have a film, Shadows Fall North, where we can show the film and have discussions. So there's a lot of ways that we can engage with our business partners. We're not a membership organization as yet, because we're still young and still growing and still three full-time staff members. So as we expand statewide, we're creating, you know, more opportunities on for people to work with us.
Great. But that'll be one of your next steps that maybe I can help you with. But definitely in terms of business partnerships, any organization in New Hampshire, if you're going to be authentically working DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion, partnering with Jerrianne would be, the way to go for sure. And I know we've done so much training, and it's just eye-opening. And all of my employee colleagues, when we've done this type of training, just they're so moved and learn. So I think that, as I mentioned, learning about our own history right here is a real key to, civility and civil rights and moving in the right direction. So towards that end, we recently celebrated Civil Rights Day. It took a long time for the United States, all 50 states, to recognize Dr. Martin Luther King. Finally did it. So what does your organization do around this holiday, and how do you promote and educate the teachings of Dr. King?
You know, Tom, when you said Civil Rights Day, it took me a moment to try to figure out just which day you were talking about, because I haven't heard that in a while. It is Martin Luther King's Day, but it also reminds me of the big struggle that New Hampshire went through. We were the last state in the union to actually adopt and recognize January 20th as Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s day. And there was such It took us 30 years to get there with the community, really starting off with Lionel Johnson and Inez Bishop in Manchester, New Hampshire, really working hard and so many people coming together across the aisle to try to get this to happen. So that I think this is what we do. We talk about this history. This is what the Black Heritage Trail do. It's a long journey. Change happens slowly when it comes to issues of race and these deep-held beliefs about people and our history, because we want to maintain that kind of utopian view of what we think America is. But in understanding our journey from one place to the next, we can much better break down stereotypes and create not just inclusive communities, but an understanding, a deep understanding of this journey, where we're looking at people as humans and not as stereotypes. So that's what we do.
Now, that journey, as you mentioned, was so long, and I've been in New Hampshire since 1995, and I could never understand why recognizing Dr. Martin Luther King, like why that journey took so long. And I think it was New Hampshire and Arizona were the last two, maybe, states, you know, recognizing Dr. King. And it happened. So persevered in this, and it must be both exciting, but you also know that so much work still needs to be done. So in terms of that, one of the things I know your mission mentions is conflicting histories. Can you tell us what you mean by that, and how we can help, and so that we can keep moving in the right direction?
So I think when we think of what conflicting histories are, we can even start with the formation, right? The Declaration of Independence, or the preamble to the Constitution, where it talks about we the people, or that all men are created equal. And right away, you know, we believe those sentiments and we hold those sentiments there to be true. But at the same time that those major documents were written, African Americans were held in slavery, and there was all these atrocities against human beings that were in place. So even with our precious documents, we're looking at the conflict, a different story. Whose story? Who are we saying? Who are we the people? Who are all the people that are given these inalienable rights of freedom and pursuit of happiness? It did not apply to everyone. Mm-hmm. So when we, even if we start off and we look at that, just simple things, you know, there's the way Black folks have been written in or out of history. I'll give you three quick examples of how we look at our history. For example, in Portsmouth, there was an enslaved man, Primus Fowle. He was the typesetter for the press, the newspaper of the day. And when he passed, the writing about him was that he was illiterate, but he was the typesetter for 50 years at the paper. You know,
how ironic was that? We're running out of time. So every time Jerianne, you and I chat, this was radio, but other times there's so much. We're going to have you back to hear the other two examples. The website is blackheritagetrailnh.org, all one word, blackheritagetrailnh.org. The phone number is 603-570-8469. My business partners out there, I think you would do yourself a huge service in contacting Jerianne. We all need to work on this improvement of society and the DEI efforts. And coming on the heels of Dr. Martin Luther King Day, I think now's the time to continue moving in the right direction. And Jerry Ann, we'll have you on again before you know it. And thanks for all you do for your leadership.
Thank you so much, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Thank you
so much, Nazzy. This has been great.
Excellent.
I'm a big talker, but...
I could have listened to you all day. It was wonderful. You're a wonderful talker. I love it. All right, let's wrap it up. Thank you very much, Tom. We will see you next time on Northeast Delta Dental Radio on the Pulse of New Hampshire.
Thank you so much.